Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter, page 1038 in your Schofield Bible. Beginning with verse 36, we'll read responsively through verse 46. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, page 1038. And let's stand, please. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And let's finish together, please. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pray. And Father, we're here tonight. We've chosen to come. And we represent a lot of people. We pray that you'd certainly meet with us if you're in the presence of two or three who gather together. Most certainly you'd be with us tonight. And we not only covet your presence, we're depending on it. Pray that you'd bless with thy Spirit's presence and power, and pray that you'd rule our hearts and our minds and help us to be watchful. Help us to be open of mind and heart concerning thy word and that which you've given our preacher. Thank you for his dependence upon thee. We look to thee through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, just 1 hour. Just 1 hour. My text is the text read a while ago. Said, He cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Our Heavenly Father, tonight we come to a little different kind of a message. A message that has to do with your need of us, not our need of you. And yet our need of you is that you need us. We thank you that you do. Do thou tonight in this hour give us what we need, that we may give others what they need, that you may have what you need. In Jesus' name, amen. It is not the first time I've made this statement, nor will it be the last, but I'd always wanted to go to the Bible lands. Of course, I guess every Christian's dream is someday to go to Bible lands. And I was quite surprised at what blessed me the most. I looked forward to Bethlehem, but to be quite frank with you, I was disappointed. Not in the shepherd's fields and not in the little city that was quaint, but what they had done to Catholicize, if that's a good word, the supposed place where our Lord was laid, was born. To be quite frank with you, I was disappointed in many things, but the thing that I enjoyed the most, and the thing where I wept the most, and the place where I was moved the most, was the Garden of Gethsemane. I was surprised at that. I think the reason was the Garden of Gethsemane probably is there's no way to disprove its authenticity. They say that those trees there in the Garden of Gethsemane are probably the same trees under which Jesus prayed nearly 2,000 years ago. Our Lord is there in under those trees. Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in the garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Well, as he told the nine, he said, you wait while I'm going yonder, please. And he said to the three, Peter, James, and John, you come with me, please. You know, I was thinking today, a sermon I used to preach, I don't preach it anymore, in fact, haven't in a long time. Please look this way and put your pencils and pens down. Would you mind, please? And listen to what I'm saying and listen to me while I preach. There's nothing that irritates me any more than for somebody to just, especially you students at Howells Anderson, to just flagrantly say, I'll do what I want to do. I want you to listen to me. I want your hearts, not your notebooks while I'm preaching. I'll say it again. If I have to say it every service till I go to heaven, I'll say it every service. But you need your heart to get into this and not your fountain pen. So I was thinking, there were 5,000 people that followed our Savior most everywhere he went. There was the feeding of the 5,000. But from that 5,000, upon his resurrection, there were 500 to whom he appeared. I want to be a part of those that were still there after he rose from the dead. I don't want to be just the one that goes to get the loaves and fishes when he feeds the 5,000. I want to be a part of that inner circle of Christ. I want to be a part of the... Oh, what do you call them at church? I want to be part of the inner circle, I guess you'd say. I want to be the part of the prayer meeting crowd. I want to be a part of the crowd that's with him and with the risen Christ. And from that 5,000, there came 500. But from that 500, there came 120. There were 120 in the upper room. Where are the other 380? I don't know. Where are the other 5,880? I don't know. But we narrowed it down from the 5,000 to the 500, and then we narrowed it down from the 500 to the 120. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the praying crowd. That's the crowd that prayed in the upper room. I want to be a part of the praying crowd. I want to be a part of the crowd that Jesus knows, prays to him, and knows Jesus, and Jesus knows me. And I want to be a part of the praying crowd. But there was another narrowing down. There were 70 people who went out to witness. There were 70 that were sent out. The soul-winning crowd, if you please. I'm not just satisfied to be a part of the Sunday morning crowd. I want to be a part of the Sunday night crowd, too. And I'm not just satisfied to be a part of the Sunday night crowd. I want to be a part of the Wednesday night crowd, too. And I'm not just satisfied to be a part of the Wednesday night crowd. I want to be a part of the people that testify to the living Christ also. I'm not just satisfied to be a part of those that testify the living Christ. I want to be a part of those that really pray. I'm not talking about now and even down to sleep. I'm talking about people that know how to grab a hold of the throne of grace and shake the altar of God and get God's attention and get things from God. I hesitate to even say this, but Brother Ed Wober has been rejoicing lately. And Ed, you don't mind me telling, do you? Brother Wober, all of a sudden, not long ago, Brother Wober, back trouble came on him, and he was almost an invalid, and he travels across the country and sings, and he was almost an invalid, and he just absolutely could hardly get around, and he was afraid he'd just have to quit traveling. And so he went to the doctors, and they tried to check him and find out what it was, and medicine, and so forth. Did you go to a chiropractor? Several doctors went to osteopath, and so forth, and they did all they could, but not a thing helped. And Brother Wober asked, could I come by your office and have you pray for me? And he did, and he said, I should have done this first. I took a little olive oil and put it on his brow, and I said, Dear Lord, bless this good man and heal his body. And if you will love you, whatever you do, and I realize that sometimes you want us to suffer, but I think that there are sometimes you could heal us if we do what you said. And we're doing exactly what you said. You told us that any man sick, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And then Brother Wilbur walked out of the office, and within a few hours, day or two, he's walking down the street, and it felt like something hit him. In fact, I prayed for him. I said, "Lord, help him to fall, or help him to hit him, or something that'll knock his back in place." And he said, all of a sudden, he felt like he was stricken, felt like he's almost knocked down. And he said, when he shook like that, he said his back didn't hurt anymore. And it hasn't hurt since. Told me this morning. He said, "Praise the Lord." He said, "God has healed me." I'm saying, I want to be the kind that when I talk to God, God hears me. I don't want to be these little preachers that just preach sermonettes to Christianettes and octettes and sextettes and quartets and smoke cigarettes. I want to be one of the 120. I want to be in the 5,000. Oh yes, I want to be there. But I want to be in the 500. Oh yes, I want to, when it's narrowed down to 500. I still want to be there. But when it's narrowed down to the 120 that get a hold of God, I want to be one of those. But when it's narrowed down to the 70 that go soul winning, I want to be one of those also. I want to be where the... And I don't understand you people. I don't understand you people that want to just be a part of the 5,000. That's hard for me to figure out. Don't you want any more than just to get to heaven with the skin of your teeth? I want to be a part of the 500. I don't understand you people that are part of the 500 that don't want to be a part of the praying crowd. And you folks that are the part of the 120... that don't we want to be a part of the soul-winning crowd. Brother, I don't want to miss anything. I want all there is. And but from the 5,000 came the 500. From the 500, it was narrowed down to 120. From the 120, it was narrowed down to 70. But from the 70, it was narrowed down to the 12. I still want to be in there. I want to be one of the 12. I want to be the ones that go with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. I want to be the part of the 12 that were chosen to spread the gospel of Christ. I want to be a part of the 12 that give myself all my life to serve God. But from the 5,000 came the 500, from the 500 came the 120, 120 came the 70, 70 came the 12, from the 12 came the three that went to the Mount of Transfiguration, as I said a while ago, and Peter, James, and John, who were there when Tabitha was raised from the dead. That little inner circle of Christ that went with him a little farther, such as was the case here in our story. Jesus said to the 9, "You stay back here." He said to the three, he said, "You come with me." And they came with him, and I want to be a part of that three. But from the 5,000 or 500 that were there at the resurrection, there from the 500, there were 120 that prayed. From the 120, there were 70 sent out. From the 70 sent out, there were 12 that were disciples. From the 12 that were disciples, there were three in the inner circle. But from the three, there was only one that leaned on Jesus' breast. I'd like to be that one. I just want everything there is. I don't understand you people that just barely want to get in. Half in, half out, half on, half off, half hot, half cold, milk and cider kind of Christians. I don't understand that. Now, I love you and I'm glad you're here. And I thank God for the 5,000. And whenever I break the loaves and fishes, I'm going to feed you. And I want you to eat and I want you to be a part of the church. But what in the name of common sense is wrong when the great God of God says, "I want you to go farther than that"? And so here we have the three. He said to the three, he carried them farther, and he said, "Would you tarry ye and watch with me?" And now the word "watch" is a very interesting word. It means spiritual attention. The word "watch" encompasses all of the spiritual attention that we give to God. It encompasses praise. It includes worship. It includes confession. It includes thanksgiving. It includes prayer. It includes our watching with God, our being with God, the sum total of our spiritual attention that we give to God. And he said, "Could you not watch me?" He said, "Stay, you tarry here and watch with me." So he went a little farther by himself. And Luke says, about a stone's throw from these three. Now get me. Here are the 500. From the 500 came 5,000. 500 came 5,000. From the 5,000 came 500. From a big crowd came a little crowd. And from the 500 came 120. From the 120 came 70. The 70 came 12. From the 12 came 3. And now these three come with him. He said, "You tarry here." He goes about a stone's throw from them. And he begins to pray. And he prays. Bible says he went a little farther. And he says, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, I do not think he was saying, "I don't want to die on the cross." I don't think he was saying that at all. I don't think Jesus was saying, if it be possible, don't make me die on the cross. I think but the Bible said that was His glory. That's what He came to do. He set His face like a flint toward Jerusalem. That was His high hour. That was the purpose of His coming. I don't think Jesus was saying for a minute, I don't want to die on the cross. I think He was saying, I think I'm going to die right now. I mean, I feel like right now, I'm going to die. Don't let me die now. I've got to go to the cross. I've got to fulfill Isaiah 53. I've got to fulfill Psalm 22. I've got to fulfill the cross. I've got to be delivered unto wicked men. I've got to be wrongly tried. I've got to be convicted wrongly. I've got to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. I've got to go to Calvary. I've got to have the nails piercing my hands and feet. I've got to dip my own soul into hell. Let this cup pass from me now. Let me wait to fulfill the purpose for my coming. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That's the one thing I want more than I want everything else in the world put together. I want to fulfill the purpose for my coming into this world. There's a reason why I'm here. Before I die, I want to fulfill the purpose of my coming. I'm here for a reason. And Jesus said, I've set my face like a flint toward Jerusalem. And He said, I've come, I delight to do Thy will, O God. And Jesus was going to Calvary, but it looked like there for a while He wasn't going to make it to Calvary. And death seemed imminent. And He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what you want is what I want. And that's what I want. I want what He wants. Oh, my soul, if I could just teach you how much more wonderful it is to have what He wants you to have than to have what you want to have. And to do what He wants you to do rather than doing what you want to do. And to be what He wants you to be rather than being what you want to be. And so Jesus said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. But if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Don't take my life before it's time to go to Calvary. A whole world needs to be saved. And I cannot be the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 unless you let me go on to Calvary. I want to do the thing I came to do. And I came to die on the cross. And I came to pay the penalty and fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. And all those Old Testament prophecies cannot be fulfilled unless you let me live long enough to go to the cross. He gets up. He returns. You know what He's hungry for? He's hungry for somebody to share it with Him. He said to the disciples, watch and pray. He comes back and what does He see? He sees the disciples asleep. And Jesus said, couldn't you have watched for 1 hour? He's hungry. He wants to talk to somebody. He wants to unburden his heart. He's yielded himself to go to the cross and he wants to tell them about it. He wants somebody to talk to. I mean, I marvel that God wants me to fellowship with Him. I marvel that the great Creator of the universe wants me, the creature, to fellowship with the great Creator. I marvel. And Jesus, you know, I go back to motel rooms so many times after a great service. And you know, I preach. I have a pastor's school somewhere every week, you might say. Somebody's pastor's school. I'll be preaching tomorrow night in Pennsylvania, God willing, and Tuesday morning and Tuesday night in Pennsylvania. And every week I go somewhere to preach. And I have a great service, maybe like we had Thursday night somewhere in the country. And I go back to my room and I wish somebody were there. And I hunger for somebody to talk to and somebody to share the service with. And I want to pick up the phone and I want to call the preacher maybe and talk to him. But And Jesus said, I want to talk to somebody. He came back and there the three were asleep. I'm not talking about the 5,000. I'm not talking about the 500. I'm not talking about the 120. I'm not talking about the 70. I'm not talking about the 12. I'm talking about the 3. He said, tarry ye and watch and pray. And he comes back and they're sound asleep. And Jesus said, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? I needed you for 1 hour. And by the way, he addresses it to Peter. He was the Pope, and I think he wanted to talk to him. And he addressed it to Peter. And he said, Peter, couldn't you watch with me just for 1 hour? He said, Peter, I didn't ask you to all night long. I just asked you for 1 hour. That's all I asked you for. There's something awful sad about that to me. Oh, it looks like maybe those three should have stayed with him all night long. It looks like they could have stayed awake. But Jesus comes back and he said, could you watch with me, Peter? Couldn't you watch? I needed you for 1 hour. Could you not watch with me just for 1 hour? He comes tonight to you and he says, couldn't I have one tenth? Couldn't I have one tenth? I don't ask for all of it, but couldn't I have one-tenth? You've got money and you money for your rent. I don't ask for that. You got money for your car payments. You got money for your groceries. You got money for your clothes. Jesus said, I understand that. Couldn't I just have one-tenth? That's sort of a sad kind of a commentary to me when a person can drink God's water and breathe God's air and enjoy God's sunshine and enjoy God's rain and eat God's food and live on God's earth. And Jesus comes and says, I don't ask for all of it, but could you not just give me a tenth of it? Could you not give me a tenth? He comes tonight and he says, I give you your whole life. Every day is a gift from me. Every morning you wake up is a gift from me. Couldn't I just have one day? Couldn't there be one day when you forget about football? Couldn't there be one day when you forget about making money? Couldn't there be one day when you close your business? Couldn't there be one day when you serve me? Couldn't there be one day when you go to church? Couldn't there be just one? You got 7 days. You got Monday through Saturday. Do the work around the house. Couldn't there be one day that you don't mow your yard? Couldn't there just be one day that you don't work on around the house? Couldn't there just be, just give me one. I don't ask for two. I don't ask for three. I don't ask for four, five, six, or seven. Couldn't you just give me one day? I don't know of anything in the whole Bible that seems sadder to me. There's the Savior. In just a few hours, He's going before Pilate. In just a few hours, He's going to see Pilate wash His hands, or try to wash His hands of Him. In just a few hours, Pilate will say, I'll have nothing to do with Him. In just a few hours, angry soldiers will come and upon the betrayal kiss of Judas Iscariot and take Him. In just a few hours, they'll strip Him naked and they'll take a whip with one handle and nine whips on one handle, and they'll put little hunks of metal on those nine whips and they'll beat Him across the back till Isaiah said you couldn't even tell He was a human being. In just a few hours, He's going to do that, and He just wants an hour. I think that's so sad. Here's the Son of God, became flesh, about to go to Calvary, about to dip His soul in the torments of the damned, about to take suffering like nobody ever suffered, about to suffer the pains and the sins of the whole world, about to complete redemption's plan, about to go to Calvary, about to wear the mock crown and wear the mock robe and hold the mock reed in His hands, about to become sin and pay for the sins of mankind. And He comes back and He said, I'm going to do all that. Couldn't you just give me 1 hour? Let me ask you a question. Is it too much for God to ask you for one-tenth? Is it too much for God to ask you for one day? Is it too much for God to ask you for 1 hour? Now, wait a minute. He's talking to the best Christians in the world. He isn't saying to the 5,000, I'd like you to give me an hour. He isn't saying for the 500, could you give me an hour? Pardon me. He isn't saying to the 120, could you give me an hour? He isn't saying to the 70, could you give me an hour? He's not even saying to the 12. He didn't have any hope to get an hour from them, but He said, looks like to me the deacons could give me an hour. Looks like 1 hour a day the staff could give me, praying, praising, thanking, confessing, worshiping. Looks like to me the preacher could give me an hour a day. God doesn't come and say that the new Christian, why couldn't you give me an hour? What God is saying is, I think He's saying this, why in the name of common sense doesn't God have a right to expect the best Christians to give Him an hour a day? How long has it been since you gave Him an hour a day? Here He comes and He says, couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Couldn't you give me an hour to praise and worship and thank and confess and pray? Couldn't you have watched for 1 hour? Let me give you some beautiful thoughts here that I think are worth our attention. One is, He didn't expect the 5,000 to do the same as the 500. You know, God knows that we're flesh.
God knows that we're human. God knows that we can. God didn't come, didn't say to everybody, give me the 1 hour. God does not expect the 5,000 to do the same as the 500. He expects you to be going toward that. But God does not expect the 500 to do the same as the 120. And God does not expect the 120 to do the same as the 70, or the 70 the same as the 12, or the 12 the same as the 3. But He comes to the best Christian, the 3 best Christians in the whole world. One who is to go to Patmos and be exiled to Patmos. One who is to give his life as a martyr. Well, all three of them did. Another who's to become the great preacher of Pentecost and have 3,000 people saved, then is going to be crucified upside down before too long. And Jesus said, couldn't I have an hour? I think tonight. I think, could I have this mic, please? I think tonight, Jesus comes to the choir and He says, choir, you're the best people in the church. Couldn't I have an hour a day? Just an hour? You got 24 hours. You sleep 8 hours. You probably maybe take an hour, hour and a half for eating. And you work for 8 hours. Couldn't I have 1 hour? Is it asking too much, choir, for an hour for you to watch? Couldn't you take an hour for some total of praising and worshiping and thanksgiving and confessing and praying? Is that too much? He says to the staff, He says, fellas, I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of things to do. But He says, couldn't I have an hour a day? Just an hour? You're the best. You're full time. You're paid to serve God full time. Couldn't I have an hour? He comes and says, fellas, you're the choir director, and you're the mission director, and you're the bus director, and you're the principal, and you teach in the college, and the children's director. Is it asking too much to ask you for an hour a day? That's what He's saying. Jesus comes and says to the deacons, He says, deacons, couldn't I just have an hour? You're the deacons. You hold one of two New Testament offices. God didn't call you to be the business agents of the church. God didn't call you to be the financial wizards of the church. Let me tell you something, brother. Deacons are supposed to be the most spiritual, soul-winning people in the whole church building. God didn't call you to be the second class attorneys and CPAs at the church. God called you to be soul winners. The Bible said, choose you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. And God comes and says, couldn't I have an hour? Couldn't you give me an hour a day? You got 8 hours to work. You got a couple hours maybe you drive to and from work. He said, deacons, you got time to eat. And that's more than an hour. Jesus said, couldn't I just have 1 hour? I think that's one of the most pitiful things in the whole Bible. Just give me an hour. That's what He said. Just give me an hour. Let me tell you something. Nobody has a right to be a leader in God's work who gives God less than 1 hour a day. I gave you a little outline not long ago called 30 Minutes with God. That's for everybody. That's not for Peter. Jesus said, Peter, I want an hour from you. 30 minutes a day is not for the staff, not for the choir, not for the deacons, not for the Christian school teachers, not for the full-time workers, not for those in the college who serve a full-time service. That 30 minutes a day is not for you. That's for the baby Christian. That's for the bus riders. That's for City Baptist kids. That's for the high school students. That's for the new Christians. God comes to you and says, I want an hour. Couldn't you give me 1 hour? In God's name, why don't we rise up tonight like a mighty army and say, we're not going to let Jesus come as He came in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Peter, couldn't you have given me just 1 hour? I didn't ask you to pray all night. I'm going to be out here all night long, and I'm going to pray till perspiration will be like drops of blood. But Peter, I don't ask you for that. I know you're flesh. I know you're human. But couldn't you give me an hour? There's something sweet I like here. And that's the patience of our Lord. He didn't go to the other nine and say, how about an hour? And the fact that He said just an hour. Listen, He had every right to walk back and say, couldn't you give me all night? He had every right to walk back and say, couldn't you pray with me? Pardon me. 8 hours? He had every right to do it. Look, this was Jesus, God incarnate, about to go to Calvary to pay the penalty of a man. He could have said, good night, I'm giving you life eternal. Why can't I have all night long? One night. He was going to the cross so you will live forever. And he says, 1 hour. 1 hour. How long has it been since you spent 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Total 1 hour. Watching. Confessing. Praising. Thanking. Worshiping. Praying. He said, just give me 1 hour. And I'm so glad tonight that our God is an understanding God. I'm so glad our God's a patient God. He didn't say all night. He just said 1 hour. He said, that's a minimum. Peter, you're one of the 12. Peter, you're going to preach on Pentecost. Peter, you're going to be the pastor of a church. Peter, you're going to be the leader. I'll tell you what. I mean this. If I didn't give God an hour a day of my life, and I give Him much more than that, a minimum of an hour and a half a day, but if I didn't give God an hour a day of my life, I'd walk out of this pulpit, walk through that door, and never walk back in this pulpit again. I wouldn't do it. You say, I know what I'll do. I'll resign the choir. Why don't you do better than that? Why don't you start to give God an hour? I'll resign the deacon board. Well, I can beat that. Why don't you start being a good Christian? An hour. 1 hour. He didn't expect those three to be like him. By the way, we ought to be a little more patient with people that are not like we are. Our teenagers aren't perfect. And they're not going to be perfect. But I got a sneaking suspicion they're about as perfect as their moms and dads. And we ought to be patient with them. And we ought to, I say so often, let me see just a little growth. Just let me see you grow a little bit. That's all. And Jesus comes and He says, I understand that everybody won't give me an hour. And I understand that, but He said, looks like the best Christians ought to give me an hour. Looks like the faculty members at Howells Anderson College could give me an hour. Looks like the teachers at the grade school and high school, Christian school, could give me an hour. But you say with the house, somebody said to John Wesley one time, said, Mr. Wesley said, you pray from 4 to 6 every morning. They said, I've got too much to do to pray 2 hours a day. And John Wesley said, I've got too much to do not to pray 2 hours a day. Take time to pray every day. You're as good a Christian as you spend time with your God. You're not as good a Christian as the number of things you've given up and don't do. You're not as good a Christian as how much you know the Bible. You're not as good a Christian as how big a class or bus route you build. You are as good a Christian as the time you give to your God. Jesus came back. And perhaps even then, the perspiration was like blood on His brow. He came back and there Peter, James, and John sound asleep. Maybe it's Peter that woke up first. I don't know. Jesus saw him asleep. He said, I want to talk to somebody. I'd like to tell them what I'm going to do. You know, I want to be what Jesus needs. I want to be. Let me tell you a story I tell occasionally here. It's so apropos. Back yonder when our son Dave was in charge of the youth ministry. One graduation night, I was over in my office counseling with one of our young ladies. It's been several years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And while I was counseling after commencement exercises, I heard a knock on my door, and I went to the door, and there was Dave. Tears rolling down his cheeks. Lips were trembling. He said, Dad, I've got to see you. I've got to see you. I've got to see you, Dad. And I said, Doc, I have an appointment now. As soon as I get through, I'll see you. Dave said, Dad, I've got to see you now. I've got to see you now. And I said, okay, I said, by the way, I was with Leslie Gomez, one of our young ladies. I said, Leslie, would you mind if I go across the hallway and talk to my son? It's an emergency, I think. I stepped across the hallway and opened Mrs. McKinney's office and walked in there. And I said, Doc, what is it? And Dave said, Dad, I've got to talk to you. He said, Dad, this is the first graduating class I've had. I've been youth director 4 years, but this is the first time I realize all of a sudden these kids won't be under my ministry. And I feel sorry for you, Brother Eddie. I think about that so often.
those kids right now that are going to graduate in two months. They're not yours anymore. And you've given your life. Nobody knows what this man does to help these young people. Our young people are probably in better shape spiritually right now than they've ever been in their lives. But they said, Daddy, all of a sudden I realized they're gone. I didn't realize it, but they won't be mine anymore. Well, I said, okay, son, why'd you want to see me? And he said, Daddy, I just had to get with somebody that loves me as much as I love them. And I said, Doc, you found him. I put my arm around him and we knelt and I prayed. And I hugged him. As I walked out, I said, Doc, I want to tell you something. That's why your dad's alone a lot. I said, there's nobody can be with Jesus who can love him back like he wants to be loved. But I said, the more I can be alone with him, the more I can know him, the nearer I can come. I think I know a little bit about this. I can't tell you how much I love. I can't tell you. I can't describe my feeling toward the people in this room. I can't describe it. And when somebody that I've prayed for and loved and tried to nurture all of a sudden gets upset with me and maybe they'll leave the church, I can't tell you what it does for me. First place, it never stopped my loving, I tell you for sure. But I get hungry sometimes for somebody to spend enough time with God. And I'm sure there are people here that spend as much time with Him as I do. But I get hungry for somebody to love me back as much as I love them. But I feel so sorry for Jesus because nobody can do that. I often say, oh God, I'm sorry. I want to love you like you ought to be loved. I want to do it. Jesus comes back and He says, fellas, wake up. I'd like for you to spend the whole night watching with me. But I know your flesh. But couldn't you have given me an hour? 1 hour? Folks, did you know God has feelings? Did you know God can be grieved? Did you know the Bible says when we don't get along with each other, it grieves God? Did you know if you neglect God, it hurts Him? I said it hurts Him. How wicked we are. How selfish we are. Jesus comes back and He says, couldn't you give me 1 hour? He says, let me talk to the best. The best. He's saying, couldn't somebody have watched an hour? Couldn't somebody have confessed and praised and worshiped and thanked and prayed for an hour? Couldn't somebody have done it? I feel so sorry for God. He made us in His likeness. He made us for the praise of His glory. God didn't make you so you'd come down and eat 3 square meals a day and make a little money and watch television at night and go to bed and do it again the same thing the next day. God didn't make you for that. God made you for Himself. God made you for Himself. I want to be what He needs. He comes to you tonight and He says, you have 24 hours a day. Can't I have one? Is that asking too much? I come tonight on behalf of Jesus. I come for Him tonight and say, couldn't He just have an hour? Couldn't you give Him an hour a day? Most of you watch television an hour a day. Y'all be ashamed, but you do. Most of you eat an hour a day. Brother Keith eats 4 or 5 hours a day. For the Larry Weller eats all day long. You read an hour a day. And Jesus comes and says, could I have one? Could I have one? Let me ask you a question tonight. Don't you care about His feelings? Everything we do in the Christian life is so wrapped up. Say, for example, we say, you pray and you'll feel better. Well, what difference does it make whether you feel better or not? Won't you pray so He'll feel better? If you'd just praise God, you'd be surprised how much better you'd feel. Well, forget how much better you'd feel. Think how much better He'd feel if you praised God. What if I walked up tonight and said, Brother John, you're a great guy. I won't tell you what a great guy you are because I want to feel good. I feel better if I tell you what a great guy you are. You're a great guy. Woo, man, I feel better. I don't give a flip how I feel. I want you to feel good. I don't give a flip how I feel. I want him to feel good. When I get through with my prayer time with God, when I got through this afternoon, my prayer time with God of being with him, I said, God, I hope you enjoyed it. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Peter, you're the chief man. You're the one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. James and John, you were with me when I raised Tabitha from the dead. You up there on the Mount of Transfiguration with me. Peter, you're the one that said, let's build three tabernacles and stay up here. I know your flesh. Couldn't I just have 1 hour? And I ask you that question tonight. The whole purpose of the sermon is to try to get you to give God an hour a day. That's the whole purpose of it. I'm talking about the leadership. I'm talking about the deacons. I'm talking about the staff. I'm talking about the Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about the choir. I'm talking about that 500 people that work here at the church in some capacity. Couldn't you give him 1 hour? Just 1 hour? Just 1 hour. I thank God tonight that I give him at least an hour a day. I hope he enjoys it. When I praise him and say, you're wonderful, and I thank you, I hope the Lord enjoys it. I hope he does. You say, Brother Howells, you think God would enjoy my little time? Well, of course. I walked out of here this morning. You should have seen that little Depper boy. David, the name of David Depper. My, you should have seen that coat he had on. Had him up there on top of the hat rack. We're trying to get him to jump off to me. He won't do it yet. And he wouldn't quite do it. And then he gets down, he hugs me. He has a muscular dystrophy, I think it is. Anyway, what is it? He has something. And bad cold, maybe. But anyway, he'll never be a real normal boy. But, he hugs me, and he'll hug. And I'll say, oh, you're so strong. He thinks he's hurting me, and he is. And I love that. Now, he can't love me like I love him. Of the day, Melissa, our granddaughter, Linda's, Johnny's oldest child. I guess Melissa must be 9. I don't know. I think she's about 9. I called Linda and she said, Daddy, she said, I walked in Melissa's room the other day, a year or two ago. She said, she's crying uncontrollably. And I said, what about? She said, Daddy, she said, years ago you wrote Melissa a letter and you told her you would never know her real well. You told her you wouldn't get to see her very much. You told her why. You told her you were trying to stir preachers and save a country for her so she'd have a free country. Melissa got that letter. She was a little baby, but a child. But she didn't read it. She couldn't read it then. But she stumbled across that letter in her drawers. And she was reading it by herself and weeping uncontrollably. That warmed my heart. Jesus said, I need you. I need you. I made you for myself. I didn't make you for yourself. I made you for myself. Could I have an hour? Could I have an hour? An hour? You have 24. Could I have one? How about it tonight? Don't you think it's time you decided to give him at least an hour? Could I have a 10th? Could I have 1 day out of 7? Could I have an hour? Just an hour. Just an hour. Our Heavenly Father, I've pleaded tonight on your behalf.